is a joy and a privilege and an honor for Sister Donna and I to be with you this morning. And I bring you the love and greetings from our class. They all wanted to be remembered to you. And it is a custom of our class to greet others with a text. And the text that we have chosen to greet you with is 2 Samuel 22, verse 31. And I'll be reading this from the Young's Literal Translation. 2 Samuel 22, 31. God, perfect in his way. The saying of Jehovah is tried. A shield he is to all those trusting in him. A while back, Sister Betty and Sister Donna were studying in the Psalms. And in their studies, they found the phrase whole heart occurs 13 times in the Old Testament. Six of these, almost half of those, are found in one chapter, Psalms 119. Psalms 119 is unique, and it captivates and intrigues our imaginations when we learn of its very unique structure and arrangement. Psalms 119 has 22 stanzas, or verse, or we'll call them stanzas. Each stanza has exactly 8 verses. The Hebrew alphabet has 22 letters. And in the original Hebrew, each verse of each stanza began with one of those Hebrew letters. So each of the 8 verses in the first stanza would begin with Aleph, and so on. Such a structure is known by the term acrostic. Now, many of you have heard that term, but I just learned a new term, so here's a new word for your vocabulary. An acrostic, which the initial letters form the alphabet, is called an abecedarius. A-B-E-C-E-D-A-R-U-S. You can impress your friends with that word. Abecedarius. You can imagine that for young Hebrew boys, this would have been an ideal teaching tool. It would acquaint them with the Hebrew alphabet and expanding their vocabulary and acquainting them with the sacred writings. The theme of Psalms 119 is focused on the Word of God. There are 10 different Hebrew words in Psalms 119 that refer to the Word of God. They're translated by 9 English words. Way, testimonies, precepts, commandments, and the word is translates 2 different Hebrew words, law, judgment, righteousness, and statutes. Every verse in Psalms 119, except for one, that's verse 122, all the other verses contain at least one of these 10 Hebrew words. And looking at those 6 verses that have the phrase whole heart, they each use a unique word. So they are associated with 6 different words that refer to the Word of God, 6 different Hebrew words. So the object of this psalm appears to convey the scope, the purpose, the blessing, the focus, the intent, the importance, the urgency, and the protection of God's Word. So for our lesson today, we would like to break this into three sections. First, we'd like to relate a story. It's a story about a young man and how he responded with a very special heart. Secondly, we'd like to consider what is involved, what is encompassed in the phrase whole heart. And thirdly, what is it about the Word of God that invokes or warrants such wholehearted involvement? So, first we'd like to relate a story. It's a story that reveals this relationship of a wholehearted involvement with the Word of God. This is a story of a young boy. A young man, only 8 years old. His name is Josiah. And yes, it's that Josiah. A king at only 8 years of age. But even at that young age, he had a determined focus to do that which was right. His story is recorded in the 34th chapter of 2 Chronicles, and we'll just summarize that. In the 12th year of his reign, so he would have been 20 years old, he began to purge throughout the entire nation of Israel all forms and vestiges of idol and Baal worship. When that was accomplished, he proceeded to raise money in order to repair the temple, which had been neglected for hundreds of years. As a result of cleaning out the temple, a book was found. A book that had been lost for hundreds of years. That book was a book of the law of Jehovah. And it may have been an original copy of Deuteronomy written by Moses' own hand. The priest sent the book to Josiah and had it read before him. When Josiah heard the words from the book, his heart was stricken with such astonishment and shame that he tore his garments. Rending garments was an indication of sorrow, deeply felt sorrow and anguish. For Josiah realized the extent that Israel had neglected and violated these holy commandments. He sent word from Jehovah through a prophetess that resided in Jerusalem, because he desired to know what would happen to Israel. And the message came back that Israel would indeed be severely punished, but Josiah, personally, would be spared as a result of his deep, heartfelt expression. So what are the lessons for us? Brethren, all reform should begin with our own hearts first. Just as Josiah cleansed the land of idolatry. Just a couple scriptures, we won't read them, we'll just cite them. Ephesians 4:31 and 2 Corinthians 7:1. Then, once this internal purging is done, can work be accomplished externally among the true temple of God, upbuilding and uplifting the body members of Christ? Note how the law was presented to Israel. Jehovah used a single individual, Moses. Moses alone was given to write the law in a book. It was not up to or required of each individual Jew to determine that for himself. And so it is that Jehovah gives his people necessary revelation and understanding at due times via a single messenger. Josiah had respect for Jehovah's servant and messenger of the law, Moses. As these words were read to him, his faith was confirmed by their harmony and righteous judgment. Finally, listen to the words of the prophetess as she conveys Jehovah's reply to Josiah. Note the heart involvement that commends Jehovah or Josiah. 2 Chronicles chapter 34, and we'll read verse 27 and then 31. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before God, when you heard his words against this place and its inhabitants, and you have humbled yourself before me, and have torn your clothes, and have wept before me, I also have heard you, declares the Lord. And here is Josiah's response in verse 31. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant that were written in the book. Imagine the tenderness of Josiah's heart. These words had not been heard for hundreds of years. How these words must have pained his heart as he realized the extent of their neglect. Deuteronomy 6, 5 and 6. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. Deuteronomy 4:29. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. And if thou seek him with all thy heart and all thy soul. Now let's consider what is involved. What is encompassed by the phrase, the whole heart? Hear how the law is summarized in the New Testament. Our Lord's words in Mark 12:30. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Similar wording is found in Luke 10:27. Note the four elements: heart, soul, mind, strength. Let's examine these four elements. Let's consider these four aspects our Lord enumerated and recorded in Mark. These have a very personal and individual aspect to who we are, to our entire being. Here we hope to expand our vision of what constitutes the whole heart and include within that concept all four of these elements. It may seem unusual that the first element of the whole heart is the heart. But hopefully, as we bring in these other elements, we will realize how wholehearted involvement includes our entire being. The heart itself is a sum of our affections, our emotions, and they should center on the Lord. The Heavenly Father is to have first place in our hearts. The more classical image of the heart, the Valentine, the aspect that expresses love, love for the Lord, love for the truth, and love for the brethren. 1 Timothy 1:5. Now the end of the commandment, in other words, the result of his words, is love out of a pure heart, of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. Also, we would refer you to 1 Peter 4:23. The next element is the soul. The word soul always brings to mind the concept of a sentient being, a physical body animated by life forces, allowing it to interact with its environment. When I think of the phrase, with all our being, it brings to mind two texts that Sister Betty's son, Darren, drew my attention to. Psalms 104, verse 33. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Psalms 146, verse 2 has a very similar thought. So it's not merely words, looks, and praise, but it's also our services, all our conduct in life, in private and in public. They should all testify that God is first in every aspect of our life. Laying down our life, our all, to the Lord. Couple familiar texts from Proverbs. Proverbs 14:30. A sound heart is the life of the flesh. And Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The mind is our next element. Here is a part of the whole heart that in many ways has the closest and most direct contact with the Word of God. It is with the intellect, through the eyes and through the ears, that we seek to understand the Father and His Son, their character, their purposes, their will. And we do this through God's Word and our Lord's words. Thus we enter into intellectual understanding, and by that understanding it enables heart sympathy, heart harmony with His words, precepts, testimonies, and instructions. As we read a very familiar text, Romans 12:2, listen to the role of the mind in discerning God's will. Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Submitting to the will of God is not a passive act, but it involves a seeking, an active seeking of an intelligent understanding of what that will entails. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Now, with this connection between mind and will, let's consider the last element, strength. When we considered the soul, we thought of life, zeal, energy. Strength has more the thought of determination, focus, force, direction, purpose. In a word, the will. The new creature can only be productive if wholly submitted to the will of God, that our will is, to the greatest extent possible, synchronized with the will of Jehovah. Proverbs 16, verse 9. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. That's Psalms 40, verse 8. And Psalms 84, 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart, in whose heart are the ways of them. So, we'd like to conclude these four elements by just considering one more scripture and a reprint comment to tie these elements together. 1 Samuel 12, verse 24. As we read this, see if you can identify the four elements in this verse. Only fear the Lord, and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he has done for you. Pastor Russell comments on this verse in reprint 4201, and section 3. It is well that we note the distinction between outward service and that of the heart. The mind, the affections. Outward service that does not spring from the heart will soon wither away. Hence, the Lord appeals to our hearts. Give me thine heart, Proverbs 23, verse 26. Proverbs 23, 26. So long as our heart is loyal to the Lord, it will control all the products of life, because it will lead us to seek to know the Lord's will in everything. This will take us to the Lord in prayer. It will take us to the Word for instruction. And it will assist us in understanding the Word, giving us more and more the spirit of a sound mind. Before we close this section, we'd like to consider another text that has three of these four elements in it. This is also from the New Testament. And it's 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here, three of the four elements are mentioned. And as we look into this and consider Pastor Russell's comments, we find that they have a collective application to the church as a whole. The soul is the soul of the church. The church's activity, intelligence, sentience as a collective being. Acts 4:32, the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. In this verse, it speaks of the body being preserved. We would all agree that we do not expect or want our individual human bodies preserved. Paul's desire was that the church at Thessalonica might continue, might be preserved to the full end of the gospel age as a noble and faithful congregation of the Lord's body. And I'm sure his desire extended beyond just that group of individuals, but all those who would come into the narrow way throughout the gospel age. The whole spirit is referred to in this verse. Ephesians 4, verses 1 to 3. That ye walk worthy of the vocation wherein ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The collective spirit is a spirit of love, a unity of faith, a oneness of mind, a uniting spirit, a collective aim, mind, sentiment, disposition, and purpose. It is the Spirit of God which activates and governs all those who are in the one body. John 17:11. I love this. This is our Lord's prayer for the brethren, just shortly before his final moments. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Here in this verse is a collective aspect. And we think of this as we interact and upbuild and uplift one another. Finally, we'd like to consider what it is about the Word of God that warrants such wholehearted involvement. In answer, we will use our six texts from Psalms 119 that contain the phrase whole heart. And we will look at the word in those verses that refers to the Word of God, that is associated with the Word of God. And you'll find as we go through this, we will be looking a couple levels deep into the Strong's definitions to find some of the unique properties being addressed by these words. Our first verse is taken from verse 10 of Psalms 119. With my whole heart I have sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. To grow in our Christian walk and to maintain our spiritual bond, we need to have a continual, at least a daily, seeking for consideration of and connection to God's Word. The associated word in this text is commandments, and it's Strong's number 4687, mitzvah. In turn, this word is from a root word, Strong's number 6680, tesaba, which carries the meaning to send a messenger and to set in order. 1 Chronicles 22:13. Thou shalt prosper. And listen for the word charged in this verse, because it's the same word, tesaba. Then thou shalt prosper if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage, dread not, nor be dismayed. As Moses was charged to set in order and interpret the law for Israel, so present truth has been set in order by a single servant messenger, Pastor Russell. So let us seek to remain connected to this truth revealed unto us by Jehovah's providence. Our next verse is verse 69 of Psalms 119. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Here, the associated word is precepts. Strong's number 6490, pikud. And this word is in turn from number 6485, pakad, which includes the meanings to oversee and to care for us. Through his word, Jehovah has provided direction, care, and oversight. He has provided oversight for his true temple, his church, oversight of their means, talents, knowledge, time, association, opportunities, and skills. Isaiah 30, verse 21. It is a promise of Jehovah's care and oversight for the direction of our... I'm sorry, this is not the verse. This is a comment on the verse. Let me try this again. Isaiah 30, verse 21. That verse is a promise of Jehovah's care and oversight for the direction of our appointed paths. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying... This is the way. Walk ye in it. And when ye turn to the right, or when ye turn to the left, we have a voice telling us. Psalms 31, verse 5. Here is a prophecy of our Lord's words on the cross. You may have remember this from a few months back. Into thy hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. The word commit here is the same word, pakad. We gain the sense that our Lord was surrendering his spirit into his Father's hands for divine keeping and oversight. Our next verse is from Psalms 119, verse 145. I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. Here the word is statutes. That's associated with the word of God. It's Strong's number 2706. Chok, C-H-O-Q. And the root for this word is number 2710. Chokak, C-H-A-Q-U-Q. which carries the thought to a point, to govern, inscribe, to cut in, engrave, to set. Again, the thought of Jehovah's care for us to set our directions, to impress upon us His word, His character. Isaiah 49, verse 16, uses this same word, kakak, translated by the English word graven. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. That's a precious promise to show how not only are we to engrave God's character and our Lord's character upon ourselves, but He engraves us upon the palms of His hands. Again, the word is used in Proverbs 8, verse 27. Here, it's translated by the word set. When He prepared the heavens, I was there. When He set a compass upon the face of the depth. As He fixed the earth with a guiding magnet, He will impress upon us the guiding influence of His word if we cry unto Him with our whole heart. Jeremiah 31, verse 33. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it upon their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now we're going to skip back. We're skipping around here in Psalms 119. We're going to go back to the beginning, to verse 2. Verse 2 reads, blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with their whole heart. Here the associated word is testimonies. Aidah 57:13 in Strong's. Going back to its root word, 5707, Aid, meaning to be or to give a witness. Isaiah 43, verse 10. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am He before me. There was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Ye are my witnesses. These words were intended for the nation of Israel, but the care, love, and intent behind them can be an encouragement and motivation for spiritual Israel as well. The Word of God is His greatest witness to us of His will, His purpose, His providence, His loving care. As we come to know His words, let us not only keep them, but testify to them, witness about them, and continue to seek and ingrain them into our whole being. Romans 8:15-17. Ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, so that we suffer with Him, we may also be glorified together. So the Spirit, through the Word, witnesses with our spirit. Now on to verse 58 in Psalms 119. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. The associated word in this text is the English word word. Strong's number 565, Imrah. And going back to the root for that, which is likely the most common use of word in the scriptures, it occurs 5,311 times in the Old Testament. We find the root is 559, Amar, which meanings include to answer, to declare, to promise, to publish, to commune. As we come to know our Heavenly Father through His Word, we gain confidence to entreat Him in prayer and ask for His mercy. This thought is reiterated in a special prayer expressed by David in Psalms 40, verses 10 and 11. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me. O Lord, let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. Now we'll go back to verse 34 in Psalms 119. This is our sixth text. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. I shall observe it with my whole heart. Here the associated word is law, Torah. 84:51. The root word here is number 3384, Yara, and it means to flow as water, to point out, to direct, inform, instruct, teach. Just go back one verse, verse 33. Here the word teach is this root word, Yara. Verse 33, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. It's a continual, never-ending process unto the end of our earthly walk. These definitions reveal to us two benefits we receive from dwelling on God's Word. One, refreshment. As it reveals His mercy, His promises, His providence, His provision, His salvation. And secondly, instruction and judgment. As He sets a standard for us and reveals our hidden faults and weaknesses. Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Deuteronomy 32, verse 2. My doctrines, my teachings, shall drop as the rain, My speech shall distill as the dew, as a small rain upon the tender herbs, and the showers upon the grass. The marvelous refreshing that we should receive from dwelling upon the Word of God. Psalms 86, verse 11 and 12. Again, this word teach is this root word yara. Psalms 86, 11 and 12. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear or reverence thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. It is worthy to look back at these six texts and note the personal involvement required to grow and prosper in the Lord's Word. Look at the verbs in these verses. Keep. To keep God's Word. That's used four times in these six verses. To seek. To seek after. That's used a couple times. To cry. To entreat. This is this heart involvement in our prayers to entreat the Lord. And then the verb observe. There is one text that we read earlier where it speaks of performing the words. So we observe them and we perform them. There are surely many more such verbs to be found in Psalms 119. It would be an interesting study to collect verbs from Psalms 119. Think about these verbs and what part of our whole being is involved with each of these activities. Two scriptures were given to us when this lesson was given on a previous occasion. The first emphasizes this verb to seek. It's Deuteronomy 4:29. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. The second one is interesting in that it tells us that Jehovah is himself wholeheartedly involved with us. His whole heart is involved as well, and we can rejoice to know that. Jeremiah 32, verse 41. Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. Of course, speaking of the nation of Israel, but by extension, we know that such care is over spiritual Israel as well. In conclusion, dear brethren, we've seen the whole heart involves our entire being. The heart is the sum of our affections, but it's more than that. It's also all our conduct in life, our soul. And it is our intellect as we seek continually to understand and know him and his will, our mind. And as well, our will, our motivation, our determination, our focus, is of key importance, represented by our strength. We've also considered six root words that highlight God's word in Psalms 119. We've learned that God, through His word, will set in order those important truths through a chosen messenger. God, through His word, will care for us and set oversight for the true temple. God's word will set our course and leave His impression and the image of His Son upon us. God's word will be a witness to us, and we in turn want to witness to it. God's word will declare to us His promise, His promises, and He will commune with us. And God's word will provide refreshment, instruction, and direction. Dear brethren, as Josiah was, let us be connected to the Word with our entire beings and being involved with that Word wholeheartedly. May the Lord have His blessing.